Hey everybody, come on in, come on in. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Financial Consciousness Training. It's so good to see everybody. I hope you all are doing good. And you can probably see that I am not by myself today. I brought in a surprise guest, and I'm going to tell you about the guest in a minute. But first, I want to make sure I greet the family and tell everybody hello. And I'm still in LA. We just had the Stock Options Summit. And it was amazing, totally sold out. You guys filled up the entire room. We had a lot of great energy in the room, a lot of great learning. A lot of you are connecting. A lot of you have strategies that you can apply right now, today, to make money today. I just, in case you want to know, I just literally sold my options and made several thousand dollars this morning. So don't ever think that you have to work to make money. There are ways to do it. You just got to try and expand your thinking. So the other thing I want to ask everybody as you come in is if you went to the summit and you did not fill out the survey yet, I would really like to ask you if you could please take like 5 minutes to fill out the survey. We really want to know how you felt about the summit, what you liked, what we can do better, all that stuff, because we are going to do another one. We're going to have another summit. Probably, I don't know exactly when, but we decided that LA was so much fun. We're going to do it again, probably in Brooklyn or something like that. So that's just an FYI. So good morning, Rosa and LaShawn and Obi Chukwa, I hope I said that right. Mandy, let's see here. Quanita, Gwen Noble, Dr. Watts, Michael Wilson. Okay, I want to say Sharon, but Sharon, I met her this week and she was like, "You mispronounce my name every time." And so say something in the chat to let me know if I said it right. Sharon, did I say Sharon? Because if I said it wrong, you know, God is not through with me yet. Just be patient with me. He's working on me. Anyway, speaking of that, speaking of God, just speaking of the universe and positivity, I am really excited about the brother who has the honor of, or who has given us the honor of gracing us with his presence. As you all know, I consider this a sacred space. In my mind, this is like an economic church where we are elevating on a very high level. There's nobody else anywhere that's doing economics the way we're doing it. Definitely not doing Black economics like this. And so I'm very selective about who I bring in. And I want to say D1 is the brother that's here, aka David Augustine. D1 is, I'm going to say a couple things about him. Then I'm just going to say hello to him, let him start doing his thing. He is internationally recognized. He is very well known, very well respected. He has for over a decade been just taking on hip hop. I mean, he's taking on all challenges. He is a fighter. He ain't scared of nobody. He's a real man. He's a soldier. You know, he's a thinker. He's a teacher. He's using the power of hip hop to elevate our people. And that's why I have so much respect for him. So without further ado, I want to ask my brother D1, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing wonderful. And I really appreciate this invite. And good morning to everyone who's, I see y'all popping in the chat. So much love to everyone in the chat and just on this call.
Yeah. So D, okay. So let me just kind of, I'm going to lay out a couple things I know that you're up to, and then maybe you can fill in the voids and let us know, because I know you're always moving. You're always busy. Last time I checked, I know last year you taught at Harvard. Right now you're teaching at Tufts. What are you teaching at Tufts?
So I'm at Tufts University and Harvard University this year. I'm over at Tufts University teaching the intersection of hip hop and social change, which is right up my alley, because I love being able to use hip hop, understanding and utilizing the power of hip hop to make social change and to really make this world a better place. That's why I got into the game. So now I have a group of students who I get to teach on a weekly basis. I teach them on Tuesdays and Thursdays about the intersection of hip hop and social change from the standpoint of creators, consumers, and commissioners. I like to call it the three C's. So we break the industry down into those three C's, and we talk about how social change has been made in the past, but how it can also be made moving forward. And we envision what the future can look like for the music industry, because we don't want to get caught up in the present or even just thinking about the past and complaining or reminiscing. We want to shape and build the future. So that's what I'm doing at Tufts. And then I'm also at Harvard, where I'm currently at right now. So at Harvard University, I'm continuing to do research on the role hip hop plays as a teaching tool, specifically inside the Black community. So the Black community, we have been drastically impacted by the power of hip hop, which is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, because hip hop is a teaching tool that I don't think people give it credit for. Like, when we don't want to have any accountability for the negative aspects of hip hop, we say it's just entertainment. It's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But when we want to embrace the power of hip hop, we celebrate it with 50th year anniversary celebrations, and we're building a hip hop museum. And we really, you know, we have these artists that we call legends and everything, and we embrace the power of it. So I think that accountability is the thing that exists between us wanting to embrace the power of hip hop as a teaching tool and us just saying, hey, it's not to be taken that serious. Like, lay off of us. Like, we don't have to have any accountability. And I'm just here to say, accountability does not have to equal to being an attack. You know, accountability is not an attack. Accountability is simply something that's saying we all want to exist in this space together, but let's just exist in a healthier way in this space together.
So what would you say? Let's start from the beginning in terms of how you got into hip hop. I'm going to tell my version of the story, and I'd like for you to tell the correct version. From what I understand, you were a school teacher and you saw how hip hop was affecting the behavior and the mindset of a lot of the kids. And you were already rapping and they already knew about your music. You were already showing talent. So you just decided that you would have more impact socially and on young people by being an actual artist than just by being a teacher who happened to be an artist. Is that accurate, or fill in the blanks for me?
Yeah, that's extremely accurate, because I got to a point in my life where shortly after I graduated college, I realized that I'm put here to be a servant leader, you know? So servant leadership is something where I knew that as a leader, I would have a flock of people who were able to learn from me and able to grow from my tutelage and my leadership, but I had to lead them by being willing to serve them. And I realized that I could best serve as an educator. But then when I became an educator, a middle school teacher in Louisiana, I'm from New Orleans. I was teaching school in Baton Rouge, though, middle school. And as a middle school math teacher, and I taught math and I taught life skills. As a middle school teacher, I realized that I could really be of service to people in general in hip hop, like as an artist. Because as an artist, you have so many opportunities to lead people, but also to serve people and to be something different than what the norm is known for. So in Louisiana, that's the home of like Birdman, for example. So Birdman's nickname was the number one stunner. Number one stunner. What that means is that he's the person who's like, hey, I got all the jewelry, I got all the cars, and I'm gonna put it on display. I'm gonna stunt with it. Stunt just means brag, show off. So I was like, I see an opportunity here to be from this same place that this brother is from, but to have the opposite be my mindset, which is I'm not defined by, nor do I even really care about a whole bunch of jewelry or a whole bunch of fancy cars. So I want to show people that wealth can look different. You can attain the wealth and still have the money, but you can do different things with the wealth. You can, the same joy that you have to show it off with, you know, with your jewelry and cars, I get that joy out of showing it off with my investment portfolio, you know, and things like that. That just challenges the norms that get created oftentimes in our culture by hip hop. So as a teacher, I decided that I could be of best service to this world and to my community in that season of life by being a rapper. So I had been rapping since college. I knew I had a gift, knew I had talent, knew I had the it factor. I had all that stuff. But to actually turn it into a profession, I had to employ my business degree that I received in college. So I had to employ marketing tactics. I had to understand business administration, accounting, just how finance works. So I set out on a journey to become an entrepreneur after 2 years of being a middle school teacher. And it worked. It worked. I mean, if we just fast forward to now, it worked. And there's a lot, now that I look back on the journey of the past, 15 years, there's so many tactics that I employed that were successful for me, both from a moral standpoint, from a values standpoint, but also from an economic standpoint, that I'm like, wow, like this worked for me. So part of my goal and part of my role at this point is to continue teaching and to show people, here's what I did that worked for me. And not only am I making profit, but I also have my moral compass on 10. I didn't have to sell out. I didn't have to compromise, you know, in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's what everybody will want. I think that's the home run for everybody. Like, that's the Super Bowl right there in life, is if you can say, wait, I can make profit, I can attain wealth, I can become wealthy, but I can also do it in a way to where I didn't have to sell out or dumb down or water down what I stand for. And
wow. Well, you know, I love that a lot. And I like how you bought it the financial side of all that. I want to ask you this. Every morning, what we do, in case you want to know what you invited into, we do financial consciousness training every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And basically, I have my own definition of what it means to be financially conscious, like, you know, to do well, but to still be well, to still, you know, have integrity to be who you're supposed to be instead of who the money tells you to be, stuff like that. What would be your definition of what it means to be financially conscious? Like, you know, because you've made songs, you've actually, I want everybody to know, he's had hit songs where he talked about money. You had Sally Maybach, which was a massive hit. You did well, made a lot of money off that. You also did, I remember No Car Note. You know, you were doing the opposite of what a lot of rappers do. You had the courage to brag about driving a 98 Honda Accord, which means like, don't judge me by my car, judge me by who I am, right? Yeah. And I like that, right? I'm not judging by your car, I'm judging you by who you are, right? And so tell us about your definition of a financial consciousness and how you've been able to maintain that balance in a world where, when you become popular, and you can talk about this too, when you become popular, a lot of stuff gets thrown at you, a lot of temptation, a lot of people say, hey, if you just stop doing this and stop doing that, you could blow up and get all these opportunities. How do you balance those things?
Well, I had to redefine what wealth looks like. So for myself, wealth became something where, of course, part of it was financial, but the wealth didn't start out financial. For me, going to Ghana, West Africa, when I was 13 years old, showed me a different type of wealth than I had ever seen in the United States. My kindergarten and first grade teacher back in New Orleans, she started a nonprofit to where she wanted to take Black New Orleans teenagers to the motherland, to Africa. And on a yearly basis, she would take a different cohort. So I had 15 students in my group. And when we went there, we spent 3 weeks, you know, in the motherland. And to be in Ghana and to be around these students that were my age, and they had a level of joy radiating from them that I was like, money can't buy that. Like, what I'm feeling from them and what I'm seeing from them in terms of the level of joy that they have and the excitement they have about life and about learning, name brands can't buy that, money can't buy that, and I want that type of wealth, you know? So I realized that that was something that I was lacking, you know? And of course, I was still real young at the time, but it planted that seed in my head to make sure that as I got older and there started to be an emphasis on financial wealth, that I didn't achieve that at the expense of the wealth that came from that inner peace or just that joy that you can have when you're not controlled by money, you know? So understanding that money was a tool that was meant to be used, not for me to be used by this tool, that made it to where I've always looked at wealth from a standpoint of, I've never talked down on, you know, making money, never talked down on it, but falling in love with money. I had a song called I Hate Money early in my career. It was on my first album. And saying that I hate money was just a powerful statement to reclaim the power and say, I hate money because at that stage of my life, I saw what money did to a lot of people around me, which was it became their master. And me hating money, or me saying that I hate money, meant that I could become money's master. And I could say, oh, I'm going to master what it means to make money and to have a relationship with money. And just doing that, I, once again, being in the rap game, you just see so much that talks about the love of this green piece of paper, you know, the love of money. And it's like, love, just like anything in life, love has to be managed and balanced with logic, and love can't just be all emotional, because if love is all emotional, you could ask anybody, how long did your relationship last if it was just strictly an emotional relationship? You have to have real principles in place to really make sure that that love is something that can be sustainable. So my relationship with building wealth and financial consciousness, to bring it full circle, financial consciousness for me has just been about remaining sane and remaining logical while partaking in matters that are financial. So I enjoy talking about money. I enjoy showing people what it is that we can do as people, whether you are Black, whether you are in the music industry, whether you are a young person, whether you're a person that's coming into wealth for the first time. These are all categories that I fall in. You know what I'm saying? In the entertainment industry, but a Black man, but coming into a different type of wealth than what I had ever seen before in my life. And being a young man who is coming up while all this is happening. That is something that, like, man, that's something that, once again, I'm like, okay, God, full circle moment, you've allowed me to be a leader, but to be a servant leader. So how do I serve the people? It's taking all the knowledge I've attained and saying, let me put it out there in my music. Like you said, I've made multiple songs about money to where it's not gimmicks, it's real life. So Sally Maybach was about me paying my student loans off, and it started a conversation about student loan debt in this country and different ways to pay for college. No Car Note was about the power of saying, I could afford any one of them cars that all these other rappers be bragging about. I could afford the Lamborghini or the Rolls Royce or whatever, but I'm cool because I don't have a car note on this car that I have, and it gets me from point A to point B. So No Car Note. I have another, the I Hate Money song, that I told you about, that one. Residual, that's a new song that I've put out there, a song called
Yep.
Residual. Yeah, so Residual is a song about just the power of residual income and passive income, and how it feels great to have all those dead presidents working for me when I'm sleeping, you know what I mean? And I'm knocked out, but I got them working for me on my behalf because of my investment portfolio. So this is stuff
Yes.
that I've talked about and will continue to talk about.
I really love that. And by the way, everybody, I want to remind everyone of what I'm gonna do today. Just as a favor to you guys, if you want to use it, is I'm gonna let you about know about a couple of stocks that I'm gonna buy today. One of them is Taiwan Semiconductor. The ticker symbol is TSM. Just to as a thank you for hanging out with us. So TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor. I'm buying shares of that today. And also, I want everybody to know that D is actually he's gonna be a guest lecturer in the Black Business School this Friday at 8 o'clock. Right? Is that right, D? 8 o'clock Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern this Friday.
Okay, and so D is going to pretty much break down his personal formula for how he was able to become successful without selling his soul. And so if you're on the text list, text the word morning to 87948. I'll make sure everybody gets a link to join at a discounted price. So if you'd like to join, have a private session, talk to him, ask questions, stuff like that in a small group, we will do that on Friday. So make sure you're on the text list. Text morning, the word morning to 87948. And you'll be part of financial consciousness training, but you'll also get an invitation to this event. So, D, I want to. I was watching. How many of y'all have seen the O.J. Simpson documentary? Have you been watching any of that? It's on Netflix. D, have you watched the O.J. thing?
No, I haven't watched it.
Yeah. O.J. is worth studying in terms of the things that you talk about, because basically the whole legacy of O.J. before the murder trial was that this dude did everything in his power to sell out as much as possible so he can make as much money as possible. Like, he was out here doing, the Hertz commercials and all that. At the same time, you had other athletes like Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, guys like that, that in 1968 were basically like, as Black people, we have to, take a stand for our community. We have this big platform. We got to use it to help our people. OJ was interesting because OJ was doing like Hertz commercials. He was like literally everybody's favorite white man. That was what made the murder trial so interesting. I know you're a little younger than I am, so maybe you were a kid when it all came out. So I don't know how much of that you follow, but it was a really interesting cross section of just America in terms of success strategy. So when OJ was really in trouble, it was really his people that came and stepped up and really defended him. But when they would talk to OJ before the trial, he was like, I don't want nothing to do with that community. He left the project. He's like, I don't care nothing about those people. I care about making money. I got these opportunities. And so at the same time, you had these other athletes who were, you know, who literally every single guy in that picture lost all of his commercial appeal. Like, they weren't going to do no, you know, Hertz commercials or nothing, because when they got identified as being, quote unquote, radical or too conscious, you know, the companies didn't want nothing to do with them. But it was 1968, and something had to be done, right? So anyway, I'd be curious to get your take on that. I feel like in hip-hop, I think there's a parallel. I think that you have artists that are your peers, and I'm going to tell you, D's a guy that he confronts a lot of negativity, but he's liked by a lot of people. I don't know how you maintain that balance, you know, where so many people like you, but I've seen people that have gotten really upset with you because you've really just said, you know, this ain't right. What would you say in terms of what's really going on there, in terms of why people feel that the only way you could be successful is if you sell out? Like, you're the only guy I know who turned down a chance to be on Lil Wayne's record label. Like, most people would say, oh my God, that's a dream come true, because they're not thinking about all the other issues that might come up with even being in that space with that energy around you. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I was able to turn down a record deal with Cash Money Records because at the time I knew that I wasn't one of those artists who was like, hey, if I don't make it in hip hop, then I don't have any other options. It's either make it in hip hop or sell drugs, you know. Education. That's why I'm such a proponent for education. At the time when I was in talks with them, I had a college degree. I had already had a career as a teacher, and I knew what it was like to feel accomplished already. So there's a difference between wanting to be in a room, on your own terms, versus saying, I want to be in this room by any means necessary. And that is something that I never felt. So knowing that you have options, just like how you talk about stock options, you know, that's the beautiful part about the stock market, is you have so many options of which companies you want to buy ownership into, and when you want to buy and when you want to sell. And that's empowering, you know what I mean? That's empowering to have options to do that. It can actually make the game and the world of investing very fun. So for me, I just never felt that pressure. There's a lot of artists who they are masters at hiding how much of a disappointment they truly feel like they are. And they hide it very well because they have to get in costume on a daily basis and put on for the Instagram audience or put on for their YouTube audience. But deep down, they know that they're getting further and further disconnected from who they really are or who they would like to be and who they're having to be, because they're in this industry and they've become like a caricature of themselves. So for me, that wasn't something that I, you know, that wasn't something that I chose to take part in. And it was powerful, because back then it was a lot harder to show people that I knew what I was doing, because a lot of people just thought I was crazy. Like, man, we grew up looking up to these guys. Like, who are you to say no to them? Like, this makes no sense. But now, all these years later, when people see the level that I've been able to ascend to and people see the success, now when I take on the music industry, whether I'm talking about the labels and the power structures, the commissioners, whether I'm talking about the creators or whether I'm talking about the consumers, people know that this guy, A, is not clout chasing. He's already got the clout. D1 is already successful. But B, this guy is just being who he's always been. If people look back in the archives, they're like, man, you did a song in 2009 called J50 and Weezy, to where you were talking about three of the giants in hip hop at the time. Same thing, just challenging them to be more responsible with their platform, because their platform is reaching millions of our people specifically. Yeah. So now that I've been doing that lately, I would say that my platform is bigger than ever, and the rap game has shown that we, you know, we get we get angry and we get and we get like anxious when we get called out to have some accountability. And with some of these artists, it's sad, man. Like I don't think we should consider all these artists to be OGs just because they're older. You know, we got artists now in hip hop who are almost 50 years old who are still hell bent on wanting to portray this image like they're out here selling dope, which we know they aren't. Like they're out here, you know, murdering people, which we know they aren't. And they're doing this in a way that is just making our community look bad. So I don't call them OGs. I call them DGs. And a DG is a disappointing grown-up, you know? So that's what I call a lot of these brothers. Yeah, man. Like they gotta do better. They gotta do better. And in order for them to do better, I feel like we have to show them that it's possible to do better. So at the same time as you can like call a behavior out, you can also say, hey, there's an alternative to that. And I'm willing to show you, but I can't show you if your pride is at the forefront of everything you do, so much so that you don't even acknowledge the error or the flaw in your ways. So, you know, that's just what it is. And with a lot of these guys, they have unfortunately let the dollar bill start to run them. And we clearly see a difference. Like, you got some people that are ruled by money, and you got some people that are the rulers of their money, you know?
Well, you know, I really like what you said about, you know, money. You understood the power of money in a way that was very impressive. A lot of people don't get it. You know, money is powerful like a drug. You know, you can use drugs to heal you and make yourself better, or you can become a drug addict, right? So, or like fire. Fire can cook your food and keep you warm, or it can burn you alive. And what I like about your approach is, and this will be my last question for you, what I like about your approach is that you talk about things like finding balance. You know, I know you literally you had an album called Finding Balance, right? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's not to say, so you're not saying that money is bad. You're saying, you know, go get your money. Money is powerful, but you have to make sure you don't sell things that are more important than money. Also, you used a really important word that we use in this room all the time. I saw some people in the chat responding. And what do y'all think that word is? What word did D use where y'all know that my ears perked up? Type it in the chat. Type that word because this is important for your kids. Options, right? So it, as we challenge, you know, the artists and people that will just sell out and do anything for money, I think that it's important to acknowledge that that can come from a sense of desperation. You know, if I don't have any options, or if I don't feel like I can succeed in any other way, then maybe I will do what I got to do to get what I need. And so just kind of addressing that as well is important. And options aren't just things that you actually have, or money or opportunities. Options can also be just psychological, you know, based on self-esteem. You know, if all I do is I see myself as nothing more than an artist, or see myself as nothing more than a basketball player, then me not being able to play basketball or to be an artist, it's like the death of myself. You know, like my self-perception is wrapped up in that one thing. I don't have no other options. It's almost like playing basketball and you can only dribble with your right hand. And you're a great basketball player, I know that. And you know what happens when you can only dribble with one hand, you got one move, then it's easy to play defense on a player that's only got one move and can only dribble with one hand. So I think it's important, and I'd love for you to just kind of speak to this, for us to really make sure when we're talking to our kids and just sharing the message that we teach our people to dribble with both hands and give them a lot of moves. So it says, look, I'm going to make this move into the music industry or whatever I want to do, but that's not my only move. Like that's the thing that that I respect about you, is that you're not just good at rapping. I mean, y'all got to check D out. D went on to, with Sway in the Morning. And he did a freestyle that was so great. So he is a great artist, but D is also a great man, you know, which means that brilliance he uses for art, it's applied to business. It's applied to, you know, things that he does in the community, things he does in the world, you know. So he's teaching at a university now. So talk about that a little bit in terms of just any piece that I said, because I know you've probably got something to respond to on that. Address any piece of that you feel comfortable with.
Of course. So the beauty is, when you know your purpose. When you know your purpose, then you can look at your skill set and you can ask yourself, how can I maximize this skill set to best fulfill my purpose? What I've seen oftentimes in hip hop is, I use this analogy quite a bit. My first name is David. So I reference the story of David and Goliath, right, from the Bible. And we all know that David was like the underdog and he ended up defeating Goliath, this, you know, this giant. And the thing is, David defeated Goliath because he knew what his special gift was, which was his slingshot, you know? So I tell people, and I have a whole album called Slingshot David, because it's basically saying we all have our slingshot, but the goal is to just find what your unique slingshot is and use it for the purpose it was designed for. When you're able to do that, that's something that empowers you to where you can defeat the Goliaths in your life. And that is something to where I see a lot of people in hip hop, and they don't even respect the art form. They simply look at it as a hustle, you know? So if you look at anything as just a hustle, a means to make money, then you will break the rules. You will not try to be a master of your craft. You will do anything. You will step on anybody just to get to what your end goal was. But because I understand my purpose, like my end goal is to ultimately lead people closer to God, and my end goal is also to lead people towards being the best version of themselves. Like if you could finish off your time here on earth becoming the best version of who you are over the course of your life, and if you could look back and say D1's music, D1's speaking, D1's teaching, D1's social media, D1's podcast, D1's energy and spirit down here was part of what helped push me in the right direction to becoming the best version of myself, then that's a life worth living. And I feel like that's a purpose-driven life at that point. So that's what I'm trying to like teach everybody outside of the music industry, is that all y'all looking at when y'all see me, you know, you see all these, like you said, the likability factor. When people can see a brother like me and like me, I think that part of it is just they can feel that D doesn't have this perverted ulterior motive when he's coming around us, or D doesn't have this negative chip on his shoulder that he, you know, that he is taking out on people. And it's because I know my lane and I know my purpose. And if I can empower other people to know their lane and to know their purpose, but to understand that you have options as to how you're going to go about fulfilling this purpose, that's the beautiful part, is I'm able to do so many different things, but it all points back to the same thing, which is me fulfilling my God-given purpose. So when we talk about finances, that's something where typically these two topics are not related. It's like, okay, if you're talking about being a person that's pursuing their purpose in life, and if you're talking about anything consciously or anything faith related, that's one bucket. But if you're talking about money and being able to make money, that's a whole nother bucket. And typically you see a lot of tension when you try to merge those two. But I'm just like, you know what, in the most humble way possible, God has certainly equipped me to be able to show people that you can be real, righteous, and relevant, and rich. You know what I'm saying? That's my motto, has always been: be real, be righteous, be relevant. But a brother told me years ago, it was a white man. He was like, man, you're in a space where you should add a fourth R to that, which is rich. You know, and he didn't just mean he didn't know how much money I have or anything like that when he said that. He was just like, being around you, there's a richness, you know, there's a richness that you exude. And this was when my song Sally Maybach had blown up. So I met him at a financial literacy conference that we were both keynote speakers at. Mm-hmm. That's when he told me that. And I was like, yeah, that's so real. You know, that's so mm-hmm. real. So that's where part of our friendship even comes into play, boys, is that we have, you know, we have a certain sense of being able, like, I can celebrate other people's greatness because I'm not feeling like I'm threatened by their greatness or like I'm competing with them. I'm here to help people reach their ultimate peak of greatness in their life. So I get that vibe from you as well, and that's something where I've always felt very celebrated by you, you know, and that feels great because I know the difference. I was just on the Breakfast Club maybe a month ago, and I talked about having imposter syndrome sometimes in the music industry, and that imposter syndrome comes from being in a space where you often feel like you're tolerated, but you're not celebrated, you know. And that stuff, I'm human, you know, I'm human, y'all. So that stuff has had an impact on me at times to where I'm like, oh man, I know these people don't really want me here or champion what it is I'm doing, but my numbers are too big to ignore. My impact in the culture is too big to ignore. So that's why I'm here. And you can feel that energy as opposed to feeling like, yo, this person here really celebrates me. This person really rocks with me to the fullest. And I feel that about you, boys. And I thank you for that. And I think we're going on about 10 years now, man. I think the first time we did an interview, it was via Zoom, and it was like 2014, man, if people go dig in the archives. So the fact that we still here and we still rocking out like this is great. That's why I'm excited about what we're doing this Friday, because this Friday we actually taking our relationship to another level to be able to like show people the principles that really exist, that like allowing me to open my playbook and say, okay, whether you are just a human being in your industry or whether you're in my industry, here's the principles that Boyce and I have that can apply to all industries to mix that financial consciousness with that sense of building wealth, but maintaining your morality and your ethics at the same time. So yeah.
I think that's super important because the universality of what you do is you happen to be an artist and a teacher, but that ability to be independent and have enough consciousness to find your purpose. Most people don't find their purpose beyond chasing the superficial things, right? They haven't they the consciousness level is very, very low. That's why literally every single morning we literally get together in the morning and say, what does it mean to be financially conscious? So consciousness, for example, is one example of it would be literally elevating to another frequency, another height, right? So it's like I compared it to when I took flight training. And when I went from there was a freeway I would drive every day to my or not every day, every week to my mother-in-law's house. And it was a long road and it would get a lot of traffic. And one day my flight instructor and I flew to that same destination. And the experience of flying over the traffic where I wasn't, there was no traffic in the sky. I'm looking down at all these cars bumper to bumper. And the trip that normally would take an hour took like 20 minutes. And I had a lot more options. I could fly to the east, the west. I could fly 3,000 feet, 5,000 feet, right? And my perspective was so different. I could see further. And to me, that's what consciousness literally is. Like literally from a mathematical standpoint, it's dimensions. You can literally mathematically map that out. And what I like about yourself, man, is that you take that time to have that consciousness and meditate on it, think about it. And then what happens is that when you are conscious at a higher level, you say, okay, my purpose used to be, chasing money and women and new cars, but there's probably a higher purpose out there. You see things that you don't normally see. And a lot of people don't take the time to do that because, you watch the BET Awards, it's like, all the simple stuff, right? So I congratulate you for being conscious, man. I'm gonna give everybody the information on D's event next Friday. And a couple more pieces of information for everybody that's in here. This brother's very, very busy. He is a professor. He's teaching at Tufts University. He was at Harvard. I went to go visit him, man. I'm super proud of you, super impressed. And yeah, you're going to be celebrated up in here, because, and the other thing too is when you're doing the right kind of work, in my opinion, everybody ain't going to love you. You know what I mean? That's what it is, right? If you want everybody to love you, go be Taylor Swift or something, right? Right. Or Drake. I don't know. You know what I mean? But that's not who you are, right? And so the people that love you are going to love you. And the people that don't get it, we just have to kind of persuade them, right? And let them know that we ain't going nowhere, right? So D's event is next Friday at 8 o'clock. I will send everybody a link to join, and all of y'all in here can join at a discount. He's going to lay out his blueprint. We're going to have slides, and the presentation is your, the materials are yours for life, and literally the blueprint of being successful financially, because he's made plenty of money, but doing it in a way where you can still maintain that independence, where you don't feel like you have to go sell out to a corporation or go along with the okie doke. D1 is a great guy to explain that. And I'll also share what I know. The second thing is some of y'all were asking about the stocks that I mentioned that I would give to you guys if you want to take a look. The two that I like are, I mentioned yesterday, Micron. Y'all got to forgive me. I still got that little chest cold from LA. Micron is the ticker symbol's MU. I'm going to buy some shares of Micron. The other one is Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM. TSM and MU. Somebody please type TSM and MU in the chat so everybody can see it. This is not investing advice. This is just me telling you what I'm about to go buy because I believe that all of us need to invest so that our kids will have options, right? Don't throw them out here without options. The last piece is, I want to mention this too. In May, I'm going to go and support another artist that I am friends with, Jay Ortiz. He's holding an event called the Get Money Fest. And I asked D if he could come. D couldn't make it to this one, but maybe one day in the future. And basically, Get Money Fest is for anybody that wants to figure out how to make money with that independent business. We're bringing together people like marketing strategists, people that are experts on generating cash flow, stuff like that. Also, Jay and his team, they're blending it with art and fashion and music. So there's going to be a concert and all that. I'm going to be there to support them on the financial side. So because I ain't going there to be dancing and stuff. But there is a lot of that there, right? So if that's your thing, and it's going to be in Philly. A lot of you guys, because you're in the Black Business School, you can actually go for free. So just look up getmoneyfest.com. And if you go to getmoneyfest.com, you can join for free. So feel free to go take a look at that. I will be in Philly May 18th. All right, D, I want to say thank you, man. It is an honor to have you in here, man. And I know you're super busy. And I don't know if you have any final words or anything before we bounce out.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the I've been present the whole time, but smiling, just looking at the chat and seeing what everybody is saying. I really appreciate all this love that I'm seeing from everyone. And some of y'all are asking, like, am I on YouTube? Absolutely on YouTube. At D1 Music. So y'all could go on the YouTube. I'm constantly having conversations like this. I'm gonna have to get boys on my channel as well to have a similar convo. So make sure y'all tap in on the YouTube for my podcast. And outside of that, I am on all the streaming platforms for sure. Just make sure y'all spell my name right. Yo, I think I got one of the most misspelled names in hip hop. So it's D-E-E dash the number one, all right? On all
Yes.
the streaming platforms. But also my website, because I go directly to my fans with my music now, and I allow my fans to name their own price for my music before I put it on the streaming platforms, because that's something I talk about Friday is these middlemen and these platforms oftentimes rob us in life, not just in entertainment.
Yes.
So I yeah, so d1music.com is my website, and my most recent album just came out last week on my birthday. It's called Loaded. And Loaded is an acronym that stands for Life of a Disruptor Evolving Daily. So that's me. I'm just the life of a disruptor evolving daily. So
Yes.
that's on the website. Thank y'all for the birthday wishes. And yeah, so the YouTube.com/D1Music, D1Music.com. Y'all see it, it's all in the chat. And this Friday, boy said next Friday. I guess he meant this Friday, but this Friday, I'm
Right. This Friday coming up. Friday, what's the date?
April 26th.
Yeah, April 26th. Okay, there we go. Thank you for that.
There we go. So it's this Friday. So we look forward to seeing y'all there. And that's about it, yo. So I appreciate y'all's time. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Thank you all very much. And don't forget to make sure you're on the text list. Text the word morning to 87948. I'll send you an invitation. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, doing financial consciousness. God bless you guys. Thanks again to D1, and y'all have a wonderful day. See you soon. Bye-bye. Take it easy, D.
Peace.